Welcome to Tuned to Yesterday, showcasing programs from radio's golden years. I'm your host, Mark LeVonier. Drama coming up in this hour from the Campbell Playhouse, headed up by Orson Welles. They adapt the story The Hurricane, which was originally a 1937 motion picture directed by John Ford and won an Oscar for Best Sound and Recording. Great sounds and drama to enjoy next in the CBS broadcast from November 5th, 1939.
Makers of Campbell Soups present The Campbell Playhouse. Orson Welles, producer.
Good evening. This is Orson Welles. A hurricane, according to the dictionary, is the highest term in scales of wind forces. I quote from Webster, hurricane. Cyclones of diameter of from 50 to 100 miles, wherein the air moves with a velocity of from 80 to 130 miles an hour round a central calm space, which, with a whole system, advances in a straight or curved track, especially prevalent in the tropical regions of the Pacific. The final definition describes a hurricane as a violent rush or commotion, bringing with it destruction or confusion. Now, we'll try to leave out the confusion, and I promise you we're not doing the dictionary, but I think you ought to know, as authoritatively as possible, what you're in for. Tonight's story, which is about a hurricane, is called The Hurricane. And the aim is to show what a cyclone of a diameter from 50 to 100 miles can do to a South Sea Island paradise and to the lives of the people who are still alive after it blows over. But the hurricane isn't the star of The Hurricane. Mary Astor is, as she was in the picture and as I promised you last week. The hurricane is what happens. What happens to a young couple of the South Pacific and to another couple sent down there to rule over them. The people are what count, not the weather, and the whole system advancing in its straight or curved track will be over in a minute, and it will hurt me more than it does you. Anyway, it doesn't come for some time, and there'll be lots of soft music and laughing, dark-eyed maidens to keep your mind off the falling barometer. Now, just a minute before we set sail for the lands of soft music, sweet breezes, big blows, and Miss Mary Astor, Ernest Chappell hurries up our armchair gangplank with an interesting mealtime reminder for us all. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Chappell.
Thank you, Orson Welles. It's just this, ladies and gentlemen. I'm pretty sure that many of you, at some time or other, have had this experience. You've come to the table tired and a bit worn out. Your appetite is, well, let's say indifferent as you sit down. But then your eye is taken by a bright, glowing plate of Campbell's tomato soup set before you. You catch a whiff of its fragrant aroma, inviting you to taste it. You pick up your spoon, dip it in, and take a sip. And on the instant its tingling, deep tomato flavor takes hold of your appetite, you find yourself not only finishing your plateful down to the last delicious drop, but also eating the rest of your meal and enjoying it. Now, of course, it is true that Campbell's tomato soup, perhaps more than any other soup, has a way of coaxing on a tired appetite. And yet at the same time, this smooth blend of luscious, ripe tomatoes with its delicate seasoning and golden table butter also appeals to and helps satisfy the very liveliest appetite at any meal. No wonder it's the favorite soup of most people, served often and enjoyed always. And now we bring you The Hurricane with Orson Welles and our guest of the evening, Miss Mary Astor.
How far is Tahiti from here, Captain Nagel?
600 miles, madame.
Are we really in the South Seas now?
Right in the heart of them.
The South Sea Islands, the last hiding place of beauty and adventure.
That's what all the travel folders say.
Captain, what's that wretched barren spot way off there to the right?
That's one of them, one of the South Sea Islands.
Nothing like that in the folders.
There was a time when it was mentioned in all the folders.
Oh, but it's just a silly-looking sand wave. Has it a name?
It's the island of Manakura. 20 years ago, that was the most beautiful of all the islands that raised their little green heads above these waters. The most beautiful and enchanting bit of paradise in all the world. I always throw it a kiss when I pass it for old time's sake. Excuse me, madame.
What happened to it, Captain?
It's a very simple story, madame. That island made the mistake of being born in the heart of the hurricane belt. quite a while back. I ran a boat between here and Tahiti in those days, before I got old and sober. And one beautiful morning like this, I sailed up to the beautiful island that used to be, with sugar and calico and a few other things for the islanders, besides a new governor from Europe to enforce the law. Later, I wished I'd thrown him overboard. He was just about as beneficial as the hurricane. But maybe I misjudge him. It's his story anyway, and I guess his story is as good as mine.
The Journal of Eugene Delage, Administrator of Manakura, August 5th, 1902. From Tahiti to here, 9 days on the Katapoa. Fair wind and a calm sea. And early this morning, we sighted Manakura.
Look, Eugene, the island.
Yes, there it is.
I never believed there was such beauty in the world. It's paradise, Eugene. Our paradise.
Let's hope the residence is a fit place to live in. I understand the last administrator is very incompetent. Stubbornly sort of fellow. I'm telling you what we're getting into.
I'll never want to change. Not any part of it.
Very well, my dear. You admire, and I'll remodel. Natives are probably lazy and dirty and immoral. I've understood from other governors that these South Sea people are utterly lawless.
Oh, that depends, Your Excellency.
Oh, hello, Captain.
Good morning, Madame de
Lage. Beg your pardon, Captain?
It depends, Your Excellency, largely on how you treat these people. Take my mate Tarangi, for instance. I'll match him against any sailor in the Pacific. How's the wind, Tarangi? Holding?
Holding, Captain. It has to hold if I say so.
I'd as soon sail without canvas as I would without Tarangi.
Captain, canoe's coming. Coming aboard.
What's that?
Canoes. They're coming out to meet us. Chief Mahavy and his family. Lower the ladders there.
Yes, sir.
Yes, they're a fine lot, these islanders, if you'll just leave them alone.
Really, Captain, you can hardly expect me to sympathize with such an opinion. Besides, I've been led to believe quite differently.
Mahavy! Come up and welcome! That's him coming up the ladder, the tall one with the white hair. And with him is his brother, Tavi, and his daughter, Marama.
What a lovely girl.
Welcome! Welcome, Mahavy!
Great chief, in the name of all my people, I welcome you to our island of Manakura.
Thank you.
May we work together, our people and you, in friendship and understanding for the benefit of all.
On behalf of the colonial government of my country, remembering always that duty comes before friendship and obedience before understanding, I accept your welcome, Chief Mahavy.
Great chief, my wife is dead. My daughter will speak now for the women of our island.
Like these white flowers, madame. May your life be happy among us. May beauty and love dwell with you always.
What is your name, my child?
My name is Marama.
Thank you, Marama. I saw your island for the first time barely an hour ago, from afar. But already I feel that you and your people are known to me, and that there is love between us. Always I hope you will think of my husband and me not as strangers in your midst, but as friends.
And here, Your Excellency, is our priest, Father Paul.
Yes.
Father Paul, this is Madame Delage.
Yes, I heard what she said just now to Marama. That was a fine thing you did, Madame Delage. With one simple, gracious speech, you have done much to erase all the pain and misunderstanding that has marred the relations between the people of this island and the alien law that governs them.
That's very kind of you, Father.
It's against my principles, Madame Delage, to agree with Father Paul, but I'm afraid this time I've got to admit he's right.
Thank you, Captain.
Well, Father Paul, as soon as it's possible, I want you to show me everything of your work. As administrator of this island, I shall be... What are you laughing at? Does it amuse you, Captain?
It does, rather. I'm sorry, Monsieur Delage. You see, Madame... Your husband may administrate all he wants to, but do you know who really runs the people of this island?
Who?
Why, Father Paul. Isn't that so, Father? You marry them, you bring their children into the world, you baptize them, you bring them up, and in the end, you bury them.
This boy has stolen a canoe. Stealing is against the law. There's a penalty for breaking the law. He's therefore sentenced to 30 days punishment. Finished with those 30 days, he'll know better than to break the law again.
But great chief.
You've heard the sentence, Chief Mahavy.
That's a harsh sentence, Your Excellency.
My concern, Father Paul.
But after all, Your Excellency...
No use your pleading for this fellow, Father. I don't interfere with your work, which is religion. Please don't interfere with mine, which is justice. Chief Mahavy, this man is sentenced to 30 days hard labor on the coral reef. See that sentence is executed. March 17th. Over the length and breadth of the island this week, all thought of work is forgotten. Captain Nagel's mate Tarangi and Mahavi's daughter, Marama, are to be married. A great feast has been spread in the clearing in front of the residency. There's laughter and music everywhere. Men and women both are decorated with great wreaths of white flowers, and there is dancing every night, March 19th. An incident occurred today which has disturbed me profoundly. For my wife's sake, I've ignored it. I'm not sure, however, that I've acted wisely in doing so.
Marama, wait!
You must have followed me. You know that if we are caught...
Yeah, I've caught you.
Oh, Tarangi. It's against the law for the betrothed to be alone until their wedding day.
But we've always been together, Marama. We always will be. It was meant to be. It's written in the stars.
If it is written in the stars, then it is so.
And it is.
You've no way of knowing.
But I have. Deep inside me, I know. There is no law of God or man can keep us apart, Marama.
You must not say such things, Tarangi. It frightens me.
If it were wrong, then I should not say it. But it's right, and I believe it, and it shall be true. If the great water should separate us, I would swim to you, Marama. If walls are built around me, I shall climb them. And if chains hold me, I shall break them. But always, I will return to you, Marama. Believe that.
Why did you say that, Tarangi?
What?
About the great water. It is as if you had some portent.
Oh, I'm only making love to you, and yet you read a portent in it. Marama.
Tarangi. Oh, stop. This is the hour Monsieur Delage comes for his walk along the beach. He might see us.
Ah, what if he does? We'll be married tomorrow.
He'd not be pleased.
What does that matter? He's never pleased.
All the same, I don't want him to see us. I'm afraid of him, Tarangi. He walks so stiff and straight and looks so stern as if he always expected to catch us in some wrong. Oh, I'm glad I'm not going to be his wife. With a husband like that, Tarangi, a girl would never laugh and smile.
But you're not marrying Monsieur Delage, Marama. You're marrying me. And with me, you can laugh and smile and make love. And after we're married...
I stood still in the long grass by the edge of the beach and heard them. I heard every word they said about me until they moved away. After they had gone, I stood there quietly for a long time, looking out over the lagoon. Why do these people feel about me as they do? I've tried to be just and honest and fair. I've been as friendly with them as my position and my responsibility will permit. I've done my work here, Will. I've upheld the law to the letter. That's what I was sent here to do. And I've done it. What more could I do?
Committed to me, I now pronounce you, Marama, and you, Tarangi, united in the bonds of matrimony through the Saint Christ our Lord. Amen.
Listen to that, Delage. That's music. Oh, come on out and watch them dancing. Forget that stiff-necked government of yours for a night.
You'll permit me to remind you, Captain Nagel, that as representative of that stiff-necked
Eugene.
Government... I've seen quite enough of these marriage festivities, and I should say that you had too, Captain.
Me? Me? Well, then, they've just begun. Well, good night. Didn't mean to offend you, Delage. Sorry you both won't join me. Good night, madame.
Good night, Captain.
I'm afraid that sometimes the captain is overly fond of his cognac.
I'm sure he didn't mean to offend you, Eugene. It was nice of you to join the wedding party even for that little while. It made them happy. It wasn't so hard, was it?
I don't know that my government would have approved, but there's no harm done, I guess.
No harm done, Eugene. And a great deal of good. If you'd only try and understand these people, Eugene, they're not like us. Why don't you let me help you to see them? Not through the eyes of your bureaus and your official report.
How else should I see them?
Through my eyes, as you did for a little while this afternoon, during that marriage.
So you were pleased with me this afternoon.
I felt nearer to you then, Eugene, than I've been for many months.
Thank you, my dear. I think that's the one thing I couldn't bear. Whatever happens, that we should ever drift apart, either in our minds or in our hearts. May 26th, Captain Nagel left today for Tahiti. All night they were loading. When they sailed, the Catapora carried the biggest shipment in the history of the island. For 100 tons of copra. I think I may be permitted a not unreasonable pride in the reports I've sent in with him. Colonial government.
Good sailing, Tarangi. 12 days from the islands to Tahiti. Well, you can go ashore if you like. We won't be unloaded till morning. We'll start for home at the tide.
Thank you, Captain Nagel. I want to get a present for Marama here in Tahiti to make her happy.
Well, you go along, then. I'll meet you at 6 at the bar. We'll come aboard together.
Yes, Captain. Thank you, Captain.
Hello, Tarangi. When did Carapua get in?
This afternoon. Captain Nagel here yet?
Not yet. Tarangi.
Yes, Joe?
See that man coming towards the bar? He's been here all afternoon. He's drunk, looking for trouble.
But I'm not making any trouble.
You know how white men are when they're drunk.
Get away from that bar,
you!
Let
me go, Tarangi.
I don't drink with natives. Get away from that bar!
Do as I tell you, Tarangi.
I'm not doing anything wrong.
Oh, you're not, eh? Well, get up. Get up when a white man tells you, do you hear me? That'll teach you to obey your superiors, you!
But, Your Honor, 6 months...
Captain Nagel, you heard the verdict of the court. A native hit a white man and hit him too hard.
Not hard enough, sir. The man was molesting him. The sentence is unjust, Your Honor, and you know
it. This court has passed sentence, Captain Nagel. 6 months. The sentence will stand.
But I sail in the morning. Is there nothing you can do?
There is nothing I can do.
You mean there's nothing you will do?
That's right. Good day, Captain Nagel.
Captain Nagel.
I've done all I can, Tarangi. 6 months isn't long. The time will pass quickly.
We will see Marama, Captain. We will tell her how it is with me.
Yes, Tarangi.
And you will see that she is taken care of, please.
Of course we will, Tarangi.
And Captain, tell her not to be sad. And tell her not to worry. Tell her I'll come back to her.
But, Eugene, it sounds so unjust.
Politics and red tape, that's all it is. It's an offense to good government.
Passion's a dangerous thing, Captain. I wouldn't criticize the government because a native breaks the law.
But, Delage, even the jury was sick about it. I could see it.
The magistrate, as I take it, is a just man, as I try to be. He'll see that no unfair punishment
is inflicted. Unfair punishment?
If I may remind you, Nagel... I don't choose to listen to criticism of my fellow administrators. It's not easy to wield authority. The man who allows sentiment to warp his judgment fails in his duty. It's something you perhaps can't understand.
Perhaps not.
Sometimes I think perhaps I've been too lenient here.
I wouldn't worry about that, Delage.
Thank you for that assurance, Captain.
Eugene.
Gentlemen, it isn't worth quarreling about. 6 months isn't forever. Why, first thing you know, Captain, you'll be bringing Tarangi back in time to see me bring his child into the world.
Child?
Yes, Eugene.
I didn't know. But that doesn't affect the case.
Eugene!
Germaine, there are things that concern me alone. I must ask you in the future to leave the administration of this island to me. Trust you won't make it necessary for me to speak to you again. Sorry. Now, gentlemen, if you'll excuse me, I have work to do. We shall expect you at the residency. Dinner.
Tarangi. For assaulting a white man, you were condemned by the High Court of the island of Tahiti to 6 months' imprisonment. You tried to escape. For that offense, your sentence was doubled. 4 times you have attempted to escape. 4 times you have been recaptured. And now, again, you appear before this court. And again, this court must sentence you according to the law. You know the law. You know the punishment. Double your previous sentence. 16 years.
Captain Nagel?
Yes, Delage?
You had this information 2 months ago when you were here on your last voyage. Why wasn't I told?
What information,
Delage? You know very well what I mean.
Eugene, what is it?
Only what might have been expected, madame. Tarangi escaped again 2 months ago. This time he got away. A guard was killed by accident.
Accident?
I happen to know the facts, Delage.
And I have them here in this letter from the warden of the prison, official facts. You thought I wouldn't find out, didn't you? You thought you could shield a murder.
Oh, I'm sure that's not true, Eugene.
She's right, Delage. That boy wouldn't commit a deliberate murder. And we all know how the captain feels about Tarangi's misfortune.
Misfortune? He brought it all on himself, Father, by his stubborn defiance. Now, by escaping, he's made a laughingstock of the police, the law. Above all, me.
Oh, Eugene.
He must be retaken. The government's prestige will suffer if he goes unpunished now.
I think it suffers more when a boy can get 16 years for striking a man who molests him.
I know very well what you think. What you all think. Cease to be of any interest to me. The authorities believe he will attempt to make his way to this island. They warned me to watch your ship, Captain Nagel.
My ship was searched before I sailed. From truck to keelson. And anyway, don't you know that Tarangi wouldn't implicate me by stowing away? Where would he hide on a boat the size of the Catapora?
Your crew would hide him. I only ask you to remember your duty, Captain, as I attempt to remember mine.
Eugene, judged by God's law, Tarangi has done no harm. Isn't that true, Father?
I may be a sentimental old man, Madame, and a very bad priest, but I believe God would judge somewhat differently from the colonial government.
Listening to Orson Welles in the Campbell Playhouse presentation of The Hurricane with Mary Astor. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Journal of Eugene Delage, Governor of the Island of Manakura, 1902-1909, August 5th, 1909. Today is the 7th anniversary of our arrival, Manakura. Little to celebrate. Still no news of Tarangi, but over the island there hangs a strange gloom. It grows for the month. What's that confounded noise?
I don't know, Eugene. It sounds very gay. It's months since they played like that.
Why? Why? Yes, for months this island has been like the place of the dead. Now, suddenly, tonight, this. There's no festival this time of the year. I'm going to find out.
What are you going to do?
I'm going to find out what it is. Baby! Baby! Silence! What's going on here? What's happening?
The people are celebrating, Your Excellency.
Celebrating? Celebrating what?
Their happiness, Excellency.
What are they happy about? Well?
Tarangi, Your Excellency.
What did you say, Mahidi?
He's coming home, Delage. Tarangi is coming home.
How dare you? How dare you stand there and defy me and you, Mahavi? Where did you hear this? Who brought the news?
I can tell you that, Delage.
Well, Captain Nagel?
The drums have brought the news. 600 miles from Tahiti. The birds have brought it. You hear the wind blowing? Well, it came on the wind.
Nagel, you're drunk.
Well, maybe I am, Your Excellency, but what have you got to say to all this? How about it? Has your colonial government any law against dancing and singing when the heart is happy? Eh, have they?
Well, Mahavi, administrator of this island, I demand to know what information you're holding back. Is Tarangi here? You've seen him.
You don't have to see him, Your Excellency. He's the soul and symbol of all these people. No cage can hold them. They're the last of the world's afflicted race of humans who believe in freedom. Look at them dance. Does the island dance to your law?
August 11th. No word of Tarangi, no sign of him yet. I'm sure these people are right that he's near. I shall instruct Captain Nagel to take me to Katapoa for an extended search over the islands. Motu Tonga, Motu Atia, even the Far Islands.
Must you make this trip, Eugene? Think... Why?
It's only my regular tour of the island. I shan't be gone a month. Why are you so concerned?
It's only... I don't see how you can go on his ship after the way you talked to Captain Nagel.
I don't hold grudges. You know that. Nagel ought to know it, too, after all these years.
I know why you're going, Eugene. You hope to find Tarangi.
Well?
Don't go.
You should know me well enough not to ask that.
Once, one night in this room, 6 months after we came here, I asked you something.
You asked me to see these people through your eyes, not the eyes of the law. What's happened?
An accident.
No accident, Germaine. The logical outcome of my own weakness in listening to you.
Eugene, you don't...
I made a mistake once, Germaine. I don't intend to make it again, no matter what the cost.
What is it you want, Eugene? That boy's life?
You, the priest, Captain Nagel. You all think I'm motivated by revenge. See if I could be that small.
I know you're not. They know you're not. Believe me, Eugene, we all understand. That's why we pity you. That's why I beg you now to give up this passion of yours before it destroys us all. Give him his chance, Eugene. Him and Marama, they love each other as we... once loved each other.
Germaine, all the others are against me. Not you, Germaine. August 12th, the search for Tarangi has begun. Katapoa is well out of the lagoon now and in full sail. A while back we passed Father Paul, the native boy, Marco, making their weekly fishing trip in their little... yawl. Strange, enviable man, Father Paul. The simple life he leads. His work and his play are one. And in them he finds such peace. I envy him that peace.
Shall I steer a while, Father Paul? You must be getting tired.
Not yet, Marco. Soon it will be time for supper, then you may take the tiller. What are you staring at, Marco?
Look, Father. Do you see nothing?
Huh? What is it, a log?
A canoe. And a man clinging to it.
You sharper eyes than mine, lad.
There. He's moving again.
Are you sure?
Yes, Father. Maybe it's him, Father. Maybe it's Tarangi.
How long were you in the water, Tarangi, hanging to the canoe?
2 days. Oh, it's good to be alive, Father.
Yes, my son. After that experience, 600 miles alone. Doesn't seem possible. Well, you've done it. Now you're faced with another problem. What are you going to do?
Now I'm going to see my wife and the child I've never seen. And my mother.
And then what?
Oh, you know everything, Father, that I killed a guard. I didn't mean to, but he was killed by me just the same. I can't ask you to help me, yet you know what it will mean to me if you would.
I know.
Father, you're not going to tell.
Give me one day, Father. That's all I ask. Give me one day with Marama before you tell anyone.
I first saw you, Tarangi, an hour after you were born. I watched you grow to manhood. All the events of your life have been an open book to me. How can I be your judge?
Then you're not going to tell, Father?
No, I'm not going to tell. Tarangi, the administrator, is making a tour of the island searching for you. He's expected back soon. You must be gone with your wife and child before he returns.
Oh, Father. Father, how can I ever thank you?
You don't owe me any thanks, Tarangi. This is just between me and somebody else.
This is where we live, Tarangi, where we have waited for you all these months. All these years.
And now we're together again. We two.
We three. Tita!
Yes, Mother?
This is your father, Tita. He has come home.
Oh, little Marama.
She has your hair.
But your nose.
And eyes, your eyes.
And your temper. You should see her fight with the boys.
She is both of us. She will be strong like me and pretty like you. Oh, I'm a lucky man, madam.
I'm frightened, Tarangi. If they should find you here...
Do you remember what I said a long time ago? That even though the great water separated us, I would swim back. Though they built walls around me and bound me with chains, I would still come back to you?
Yes, Tarangi.
I have come back. They can't take this day away from us. There has been no day like this, Marama, since the world was lifted from the sea.
Tarangi. Tarangi, wake up.
What? Oh. Marama. I had forgotten I would wake and find you beside me. And if I just reached out my hand, I would find yours. It's so good.
Tarangi, you must get up. My father, Mahavi, is here. He's outside waiting for us. Mahavi?
Greetings, Tarangi. Father, my son. I waited as long as I dared before I came to you. You must be gone before the administrator returns.
But where to?
To the Forbidden Island, to Fenua Ino.
Fenua Ino? But that is taboo.
That is why no one will look for you. Once there, you and Marama will be safe for the rest of your lives.
Yes, Father.
Tonight, Marco and Marama will sail my canoe across.
Yes, Father.
And after, you will go together tonight to the Forbidden Island, to Fenua Ino.
August 19th, Katapur Doctor Day. Our search was fruitless. With the news I bear, there was no pleasure in coming home. The strange disquiet on the island. Feel it all about me. There's no movement among the natives. They only stand about and keep watching me. I have a curious feeling that something is going on here in this island behind my back. Germaine met me at the dock. Even her greeting was strained. And at dinner, at the residency tonight, Father Paul did not appear.
I've never known him to miss one of these dinners of yours before.
It's strange his not being here tonight. Why do you suppose he didn't come?
Oh, he's in the village with Mama Rua, I expect. She's nearing the end, you know. She's going to die.
Who?
Tarangi's mother.
She keeps hanging on, though. She has a feeling she's going to see her son once more before she dies.
What makes her feel that, Captain?
Just delirium, I suppose.
I'm asking the Captain, my dear.
Oh, your wife's right, Delage. It's the fever, probably, and some sort of superstition. You know how these natives are.
Yes, I know. You can never tell what's going on in their minds. In the 7 years I've been here, I've learned to rely on instinct. Tell you there's something going on in this island. As I came up through the village, I don't know, natives behaved queerly. Some of them smiled at me. Never do that. Kept watching me and smiling. Smiling behind my back. If Tarangi was on the island, none of you would tell me, would you? Would you?
That wind's been rising all evening. The worst I've heard in a long time.
Like devils running around.
Yes, looks like we're in for a real blow this time. Well, I'd better be getting down to my ship.
I've never been on the island in a storm. Do they get very bad, Captain?
Well, I've heard tales of them. The Great Wind, the natives call them. A wind that blows the islands out of the sea. But I think Mama Coral's pretty well anchored. Well, good night, Madame Delage.
Good night, Captain.
Good night,
Delage. Good night, Captain. Germaine. Germaine, did you hear anything?
Just the wind, Eugene, that's all.
I thought I heard voices. I'm right. There is something afoot. Outside there.
something queer going on behind my back. Tonight. Shutters rattle. The wind whines with a maddening insistence. The moonlight streaming through the window makes fantastic patterns on the wall. Behind all that sound, there's something secret going on. I can't sleep. And I can't bear to be indoors. Perhaps if I go out into the air, onto the open beach.
Hey, you there! What are you doing about this canoe, boy? Speak up! What? Marco. What are you up to here on the beach this time of night? Stealing the chief's canoe, eh? Well, answer me! What are you storing tins of water in that? That's food! Answer me!
I'm going fishing, Your Excellency.
You're lying! This has something to do with Tarangi.
No, Your Excellency, I swear.
Look at you! When I mention his name, your eyes tell me that I've been trying to find out. Tarangi's on this island, isn't he? Huh? Answer me! Answer me! I tell you, there's no use keeping silent. I shall take you to Father Paul. He'll make you tell the truth.
Father Paul, I didn't tell. I didn't tell.
See, Father Paul, this boy is guilty. That canoe was for Tarangi. Tarangi is here. Nagel deceived me, smuggled him in right under my eyes.
That's not true, Delage. Captain Nagel knows nothing about it.
Huh? But you know about it.
I picked Tarangi up at sea, not 10 miles from here, last night.
You? Of all men. My own priest.
I am Tarangi's priest, too. Could I, preaching the gospel of infinite love and the remission of sin by repentance, betray his trust in me? The laws of the state are one, the laws of God another.
Where is he now?
I don't know.
I see. Well, good night, Father. Captain Nagel?
Well, Delage?
I dare say it'll please you to know that so far I can't find a trace of him. Captain Nagel, I want your boat again.
But, Delage...
How soon will you be ready to sail?
This is hurricane weather. The barometer indicates we're squarely on the track.
Of what?
Of whatever's coming.
I'll not waste any more time. In the name of the government, I demand your boat. Well?
Men can't argue with the government. I'll be ready whenever you are, Delage.
On board the Catapora. Waiting the arrival of Captain Nagel. Giving last orders to his crew. Through my porthole, I can see the great waves breaking white on the reefs. Something grim, terrible in the aspect of the sea. All my thoughts are of Jermaine. I've never left her like this before. It troubles me.
Why did you come back? I thought you got away.
No, it's too late. Didn't you see them?
See what, Tarangi?
The birds. The sky was black with them. They've all gone away from the island.
What do you mean?
Don't you understand? The great wind. The birds have gone because the great wind is coming.
The great wind?
The hurricane. That's why I came back to warn you and my people. Run. Seek shelter. All of this will go. This house too. The whole island. You must find shelter. Hurry. Hurry. Father. Father Paul.
Turangi.
Father, the water is up. The church will go. All of you must take refuge in the trees. In the trees.
My children, I only know that God sees us, that my place is here in my church. But those who want to take refuge in the trees must leave now at Turangi before it's too late.
Madame Delage, you must come with me. Hold on to me. Hold tight. We'll get through somehow.
Turangi.
May God bless and save you all.
Come, Madame Delage.
Draw near the island. As far as the eye can see, there's nothing but desolation and death. And of the church, not one stone standing. Of survivors, not a trace.
Madame Delage, drink this water. Are you all right?
Yes, Turangi. And you and Tita and Marama, we are all together, madame.
Before long, they will find us.
But whom? Surely there's no one left.
I saw Captain Nagel's schooner pass way off before we were washed on shore.
Eugene.
They will find us before long.
Then they will take you again, Turangi.
Oh, no, Marama, no. Turangi, it isn't far to your island, your refuge.
You've got a canoe. Why don't you go?
We cannot leave you, Madame Delage. Oh, not until they come.
You must leave at once in the canoe. Once you're out of sight, you're safe. Turangi, I beg you, please go at once.
We shall do as you say, Madame.
Captain Nagel, you too.
It is a miracle, madame. And the poor father isn't here to hear me say it.
Germaine.
Yes?
Were you the only one?
Yes, Eugene.
Were there no others?
No others. They were all washed away. I'm all alone. I was tied to a tree. It drifted here. All the others were lost.
All the others.
Take me back to the boat,
Germaine. Germaine, you say you drifted in on a tree. It must have lodged on the beach. Where is it?
On the other side of the island. Take me back to the boat, Eugene.
I have to report everything. I have to have a look at that tree.
Eugene, don't leave me. I'm afraid.
Yes?
Look. Footprints on the sand.
Footprints?
A man, a woman, and a child.
Fire.
There are footprints across the island. Down to the water.
Eugene, please don't go. Don't leave me.
We're only going to the top of the hill, my dear. Just a few yards.
Please, please, come back. There's nothing
to
see.
One moment, Eugene.
Was it Turangi?
Yes, and Marama and the child.
He'll see them from that hill. He can't help it.
Eugene, please come back.
I'm coming offshore. The water, something dark. It's moving. It's a canoe. There are three figures in it.
Oh, it's nothing. I saw it. Eugene, it's nothing. It's only a floating log. Eugene. Now that you've seen... Eugene, you can tell now, can't you, that it's only a floating log?
Yes, Jermaine. Let's go back to the ship. It's nothing. It's only a floating log.
Concludes our Campbell Playhouse presentation of The Hurricane. And now I see Orson Welles is ready with Mary Astor.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, now of 2.5 minutes since the hurricane blew itself out, and I'm happy to report that peace has been restored in Studio Number One. I also want you to know that the height of the big wind, the wind that blows the islands out of the sea, no one was braver or calmer than our guest of the evening, whom we are so glad to welcome back to Campbell Playhouse, Miss Mary Astor.
Thank you, Orson Welles, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen.
However, there's good reason for her calm, ladies and gentlemen. This is not Miss Astor's first hurricane. No, indeed. The part of Madame Delarge, which she played with us tonight, is the part she created in the picture Hurricane. And of that hurricane, the hurricane that director John Ford stirred up on Mr. Samuel Goldwyn's back lot some 2 years ago, stories are told that will never be forgotten. I wonder, Mary, you perhaps could bring yourself to tell us a few of the terrifying details.
Well, that hurricane, Orson, lasted not 3 minutes, but 3 months. 10 hours a day of wind and driving rain and
Miss
flying
Astor,
sand.
Please go on.
Well, what would you like to hear? About the time I was submerged for 90 seconds in 8 feet of water, or the time I fell 30 feet out of a tree?
A tree sounds great. Tell us about that.
Well, if you remember just now in our story, Tarangi lashed me to the branch of a great tree. The tree was carried out to sea, and I survived.
Correct.
Well, in the picture, that branch was about 30 feet off the ground. When the waves hit the tree, that branch broke suddenly and started, with me on it, head down towards the concrete floor 30 feet below.
What happened then?
I just went sailing down. It was a fine sight. Most convincing, everybody said.
Yes, but...
The cameras went on right on grinding. Director Jack Ford chewed up 2 handkerchiefs, and everybody was delighted.
But what happened to you, Mary?
Oh, me? Well, luckily, studio trees are partially made of wires, and those wires kept me from falling completely. After a while, some of the crew came over and cut me free with pliers and things. But nobody worried very much because by that time there were 5 or 6 people drowning in the tidal wave in front of the church.
Thank you very much, Miss Mary Astor. Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, after that, I think you will all agree with me that we are very, very lucky to have Miss Astor with us here tonight.
And I assure you, I'm very, very glad to be here. Good night, Orson.
Good night, Mary. And please visit us very soon again.
In tonight's Campbell Playhouse production of Hurricane, Orson Welles played the part of Eugene Delarge. Germaine Delarge was played by Mary Astor. Father Paul was played by Ray Collins. Everett Sloan was Captain Nagel. Edgar Barrier, Tarangi, and B. Benaderet, Murama. The part of Mako was played by Eric Burtis. Music for the Campbell Playhouse is arranged, conducted, and in part composed by Bernard Herrmann. And now, Mr. Welles, if you please, a word about next week's story.
Certainly, Mr. Chappell. Next Sunday, ladies and gentlemen, we'll offer you that most celebrated of latter-day murder mysteries, The Murder of Roger Ackroyd. In the 13 years that have elapsed since Mrs. Christie's work was first published, it's been read, reread, and imitated more, I believe, than any other work of its kind. Now, by the standards of present-day murder mysteries, to be sure, The Murder of Roger Ackroyd has one rather important defect because it has only one murder. But beginnings must be begun somewhere. If you enjoy this frugal, solitary murder, which after all is surely better than none, we will try for more and better murders in the future. For our guest star, we have an actress who's known and loved by you all. An actress who's the mainstay of more motion pictures a year than you can count on the fingers of your 2 hands, the inimitable Edna May Oliver. And so until then, until next Sunday, and The Murder of Roger Ackroyd, my sponsors, the makers of Campbell Soups, and all of us from the Campbell Playhouse, remain obediently yours.
The makers of Campbell Soups join Orson Welles in inviting you to be with us in the Campbell Playhouse again next Sunday evening when we bring you the celebrated mystery, The Murder of Roger Ackroyd, with Edna May Oliver as our guest. Meanwhile, if you've enjoyed tonight's Campbell Playhouse presentation, won't you tell your grocer so tomorrow when you order Campbell's tomato soup? This is Ernest Chappell saying thank you and good night. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.
The Campbell Playhouse on Tuned to Yesterday from November 5th, 1939 on CBS. And the curtain comes down on this hour of drama on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's yesteryear. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark LeVanier. It's been a pleasure.